Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us worship Him. We join to sing Psalm 22 as you find it in your service folder.
Nations.
The events that unfolded in Jerusalem on the Friday of Holy Week were events that God had planned since the beginning of recorded history. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, God set about a plan to redeem humanity from its own catastrophe of sin. And to make that reality possible, God would require a servant, one chosen to suffer on mankind's behalf. God showed us that servant in graphic detail in the words of Isaiah 53. We'll join to speak them responsively. Please stand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender sheep, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We pray. God most holy, look with mercy on this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, be given over into the hands of the wicked, and suffer death upon the cross. Keep us always faithful to him, our only Savior, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. To understand the events of Good Friday, we need to rely not on a single witness, but on four witnesses. Gospel writers who each give us unique details of the events of Jesus' suffering and death. When taken together, their accounts give us seven statements that Jesus made from the time he was fixed to the cross on Friday morning till the time he died on Friday afternoon. Each one communicates truth to God's people. And the first truth Jesus wants us to know is the truth of his forgiveness. We hear the first word from the cross from Luke chapter 23. I invite the congregation to join with me in speaking the words in bold type. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. Gracious Savior, you did not strike back with revenge against your enemies as they ridiculed and crucified you, but prayed for their forgiveness. In your compassion, pardon us for our secret sins and sins we do not discern, and enlighten us to know and do your will. Amen. the trial of Jesus Christ that eventually led to his execution by Roman authorities likely goes down in history as one of the greatest offenses to justice in recorded history. And yet another injustice was carried out on that same day when a promise of paradise was offered to someone who didn't deserve paradise. So Jesus extends that promise to every believer, that you and I receive something that we do not deserve, while he receives something that he does not deserve. God's grace and mercy in the words of his Son. The second word from the cross, from Luke chapter 23. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. 'He trusts in the Lord,' they say. 'Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them. Mighty Redeemer, remember us as we walk through the darkest valleys of life and realize that our time on earth is ending. Stay close to us when we feel the pain and loneliness of dying, and take away our fears with your certain promise of paradise. Amen." As we sing the next anthem, note that the choir will sing all three of the stanzas of "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
How deep the
The third word from the cross is recorded in John chapter 19. Jesus expresses care and concern not only for his mother, but for the very man who was recording the account. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Who is my mother, and who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and sister and mother. Precious Jesus, you consider us friends and care about the needs of our bodies and souls. Keep us in your care as we walk the road of life, and provide the blessings we need to gain safety, contentment, and joy in your service. Amen.
Thank you.
fourth word from the cross brings our attention to a different phase in Jesus' suffering. To this moment, Jesus was simply feeling the extent of what the Roman executioner had dealt upon him. Skin rotting away and nails gouged into his muscles. But as Jesus spoke the fourth word, what he was actually experiencing was far worse. The wrath of a holy and avenging God. Jesus called out in a language that was rarely spoken then and hardly ever spoken now, Aramaic. And since you're going to join me in speaking these words of Aramaic, I wanted to pronounce some of them for you. Eli, Eli is the name for my God. Sabachthani is the Hebrew word to be abandoned or left to yourself. And lema is the word for what reason or why. Jesus knew the reason, and so do we. The reason was us. The fourth word from the cross from Matthew chapter 27. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. In that day, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. Lord Jesus, you endured the horrific penalty of our sins as your Father turned his face from you on the cross. Compel us to see in your sacrifice the dreadful nature of sin and call us to acknowledge the amazing depth of your love. Overcome our shame, dear Savior, and give us grateful faith. Amen.
Thank you.
At first glance, the fifth word from the cross might seem the most insignificant of the seven. Jesus reminds us that he was thirsty. Of course, he would have been, having suffered in the Mideast sun all day. But there was more to it than that. Any combat medic would say, his body is failing now, and he can't produce saliva anymore because the end is just minutes away. But there's more to it than that. This is not a word expressing failure. This is a word expressing fulfillment. For God had prophesied that it would happen just like this, and that Jesus would experience thirst just like this. So as the Apostle John reminds us to see that all Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus speaks the fifth word. After this, when he knew that all things necessary for the Scripture to be fulfilled had now been accomplished, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. "My mouth is dried out like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Dear Jesus, as our brother on earth, you endured the agony of pain that besieged your body when your sacrifice was complete. Knowing our experiences, hover over us with your care and compassion when our bodies and hearts are hurting. Provide us with strength that we may confess you with confidence and power. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus' original language, the sixth word uttered from the cross was exactly that. A single word in Greek, three words in English. The word was simple enough to understand because the people surrounding Jesus would have known it and would have seen it on every moment of their lives, most likely. It was the word that was found at the bottom of every receipt for a bill of sale. If you were a wine merchant selling 1,000 amphora of wine, or a grain merchant selling 1,000 bushels of wheat, you would write the word tetelestai on the bill of sale. It is accomplished. It is complete. It is finished. If you were a slave trader, you would use the same word either when buying a slave or when setting one free. Jesus spoke that word, and the greatest slave trader in history was forced to listen. The devil himself no longer had any claims to you or to me, because the Redeemer bought us back and declared us his once and for all with the sixth word recorded in John chapter 19. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Gracious Redeemer, you paid the full price for our redemption and have released us forever from the hold of Satan, the power of sin, and the fear of death. Protect us from the devil's claim that we need to do more, and from the accusation of our consciences that we have not done enough. Lead us to place our entire confidence in you and to live our lives secure in your grace. Amen.
Thank you.
person's final words are always hard to hear, because it means that the person that we knew so well and talked to so much throughout our lives is gone. For the disciples and followers of Jesus, his final words must have hurt because he was their teacher. For years they had hung on his every word. They had listened to him and the ways that they taught them what life with God was all about. And wouldn't you know it, with his final word, Jesus teaches them one last lesson, one more lesson. How to trust in God. The problem, of course, had started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve failed to trust in God. And now, in his final breath, Jesus shows believers exactly how to do it. God, it's all in your hands at the end. My life and my salvation, my righteousness and my heavenly home, I give it all to you and trust that you will take care of me as you know best. Jesus gives the believer great confidence as he utters the seventh word from the cross from Luke chapter 23. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." He has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Loving Savior, at the moment of your death, you gave yourself into the loving hands of your Father. As we close our eyes in death, lead us to commit our bodies and soul to him who has summoned us by name and made us his own because of you and your love. Then, we pray, let us depart in peace. Amen. Thank you. Please stand. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies to you also that you may believe. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. God most holy, look with mercy on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, be given over into the hands of the wicked, and suffer death upon the cross. Keep us always faithful to him, our only Savior, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. and sisters, go in peace.